Welcome back, everybody, to Inside Texas Basketball. I'm your host, Evan Beath, as always, joined by Keenan Womack, coming to you here from the University of Texas at Austin. And Inside Texas here is giving you the best offer for anything to do with the University of Texas at Austin sports. $1, 4 months of just the best coverage you can find of anything from baseball, which I'm doing with Nash Talks Texas, basketball, Keenan and I are doing, and of course, football, everything you need to know about spring practice. That's why it's the spring practice sale. A third of the year for just $1 to learn everything you need to know about the upcoming Texas football season, basketball, and what's going on with baseball, as well as women's sports, which we've got a great podcast going on underway. So much to look at and so much to look forward to with Inside Texas with that spring sale. Keenan, we're back here after an awesome Final Four, in my opinion, but that last shot in the Houston game, if you can even call it a shot, pretty underwhelming finish to what could have been an all-timer right there. What was your reaction to the Final Four? That last game of Florida and Houston, and just the one in general for Florida.
Yeah, you got to give props to Florida, man. I mean, that is one of the most difficult Final Fours to win ever. I mean, yeah. All 4-1 seeds being in there for one thing, but also the concentration of talent within those four teams. I mean, like multiple lottery picks, like multiple All-Americans. Like there wasn't a 10 seed that snuck in. It was all teams mm-hmm. that deserved to be there. It was the four best teams all year. They had a few close calls here and there, but most of those teams kicked everybody's ass for the most part that they played. And you got the best games, and it's really unfortunate for Emmanuel Sharpe because I know the Sharpe family, actually, and I was very sad to see it in that way because he's a really good player and very good dude. Hopefully he can keep his head up high because he played, you know, really well towards the end of that game. He hit some big shots, so. Amazing effort by Florida. I mean, 36-4 on the season, 14-4 in probably the toughest conference ever. I mean, mathematically, it certainly was, according to Ken Palm, the toughest conference ever. So, and that makes sense with the landscape of NIL. It makes a lot of sense that these talent concentrations are going to happen in these big conferences with a lot of money. I mean, you hear some of the numbers that are getting thrown around right now. It's absolutely insane. Yep. The thing for Houston, though, is as sad as they are, they got three McDonald's All-Americans coming in next year.
And, yeah, right.
That will be the best class they'll have ever had. They'll be the best mm-hmm. class Kelvin Sampson's ever had. So all is not lost if you're a Cougar fan for whatever reason listening. But, yeah, man, it was a really fun Final Four. I had half the Final Four right, but I wasn't going to go full ones because that's lame. You know, it's like you gotta mix it up a little bit. You can't go 4-1s in the Final Four, and like so many people had like close to perfect brackets, and it's like, well, I mean,
yeah, this was the year.
This was the year to do it. I think
if it didn't happen this year, it's never gonna happen because I'm pretty much chalked the whole way. And then you said that, you know, I got three of the 4-1 seats right in my bracket. None of the games correct. You know, I didn't want to pick all 4-1 seats. Like I'll just not pick Florida. Let's just put someone else in there. Then, of course,
that's how I felt. I was like, it's not going to be Florida, Duke. No way.
Yeah, right. Florida. But Florida. I mean, yeah. Shout out. I mean, props to what that team did. Houston. You know, Houston, one of the hardest runs ever, and then Florida just winning one of the just most talent rich just groups of one seeds ever. Probably the best Final Four you'll ever see in terms of talent. We could talk for hours about what that means to the future of the sport. I think we're not going to see that again next year, and we'll see some great parity a little bit more. And you know, parity is maybe coming to Austin here as, you know, some of these way too early top 25 sort of sneaking Texas in there with Sean Miller. And that has a lot to do with what he's been doing so far in the portal. We've talked a little bit about one of the additions, Dalen Swain, but there's also Matas. Oh, and then we're going to try our best here. Vokietidis, who is coming over from Florida Atlantic. He's a big center, a really good rebounder, freshman player of the year. It just seems to be a solid pickup that you really shows you can compete with the big dogs in the NIL and the recruiting game with Miller, because this is a guy that I believe Kentucky was really going after. What's the scouting report of this kid? Because I feel like this is the one that maybe will have the biggest impact just from the start for Texas fans.
Yeah, he's a rim runner. He's a big athletic guy, very, very good as a lob threat, right? Very good as mm-hmm. a pick and roll guy. He's good in transition. He's mobile. He doesn't have any kind of perimeter skill really to talk about. I think he took 1-3 last year, but he shot something like 70% at the rim this year. He was absolutely fantastic. I don't know the exact number, but it was something very high at the rim. He was one of the top shots per or points per shot guys in the league in all of college basketball last year. So very, very good pickup for Sean Miller, and also a guy that has eligibility, right? Like, I don't know that this is a guy that's going to go pro. You never know how long the guy's going to stick around, of course, considering most guys portal. I feel like half of the teams now are portal guys, and that might be a low estimation. But, you know, he's a guy that isn't going to play 1 year and bounce necessarily. You could maybe get some development out of him. And Sean Miller last year ran a lot of post-ups. He hasn't always done that, but he did because he had a Zach Fremantle, who now Zach Fremantle's a better player as a fifth-year senior than Vokia Tyus is going to be as a sophomore, sure. But maybe that's something they go back to a little bit with a guy like Vokia Tyus on the post. You know, I mean, he's a guy that can score inside. So maybe they run more post-ups. Maybe they run something similar to what they ran last year, because they were top 10% in the country in post-ups ran per game last year. Yeah, so maybe that's something they go back to. Maybe that's something they were looking for in Vokia Tyus.
Yeah, I think the post-up's been something like the team's been lacking for, you know, I can't even remember the last time there's a pure post center. I thought Dylan Deesa was awesome, but he, you know, his skill was that he could shoot from the perimeter and attack the basket with his length and size. So I really do like where the direction this is going. We talked a little bit about, you know, a few weeks ago about what his strategy would be, and I don't think either of us were really chalking up to getting high-impact underclassmen in the portal, and it seems like Vokia Tyus is going to be that, you know, a soft 3 years of eligibility. Like you said, probably not going to have the pro potential unless something, you know, kind of crazy happens in his first 2 years here. But him being able to be here for 3 years would be a huge win for Miller's staff, just having that continuity long term. And then we can head over to Cam Heidi from Purdue, who also comes with a bit of eligibility. Had that big dunk in the national championship game. That's what people know him for. Played just kind of like an eighth man in their rotation this year. Like I said, 2 years of eligibility, athletic wing. What's the scouting report on this guy? And where do you see his role fitting in for the 25 season, 25-26?
Yeah, so he was a guy that Purdue really wanted to hold on to, and they didn't, and they lost him and they lost Miles Colvin, which they were aiming to keep one of those two guys. They lost both of them. So basically the reason he didn't go back to Purdue is because Trey Kaufman-Wren is going to start in his position there. So Trey Kaufman-Wren is a guy who's going to be like all Big Ten preseason first team probably. Like, he's a very, very good player. So Heidi wanted somewhere where he could get more minutes, and I think he's going to be able to get that at Texas just because he's a guy that can shoot the three off the catch. He's also a guy that is extremely athletic. I mean, like, freakishly athletic, like really, really crazy leaper. He's from New Zealand, I believe. So he's an overseas guy, which, you know, Sean Miller has been known in the past for going after these overseas guys. That's two of these transfers are overseas guys. Yeah. And that was something I was saying during the hiring process before they had announced. I was saying one of the upsides to Sean Miller is that he will go after these European guys, these overseas guys, and get those kinds of talents because they fit like the European style. Not that Vokia Tyus is necessarily a European style player because he's, you know, a rim runner, but you know, guys that can do the things that Sean Miller needs done in his offense. Like, he is not going to necessarily prefer a European player, but he has gotten a lot of them in the past. So this is two guys, overseas guys, he has on the roster now. And Heidi's a guy that can shoot, you know, spot up opportunities. And that's something that's going to need to be done in this offense. So he's also a guy that, should he get enough opportunities, can probably attack closeouts given his athleticism and given his 3-point percentage. Like, he is a threat to hit a three. So you have to close out on him, and maybe he pump fakes and attacks the closeout and gets to the rim and gets fouled or whatever. So very good pickup, underrated. His stats don't pop off the page, but he's a very good player for sure.
Well, what pops off to me is that 49-39-80 split with his 2-3 and then free throw. You know, it's 4.7 points per game, nothing crazy. Purdue, when you look at just the way they order their roster, it's, you know, it's Kaufman, Wren, Smith, and Lawyer, of course, the three top players, and then just a glob of role players who kind of all just interchange, play their 15 to 18 minutes a night. Not a whole lot of continuity of who's doing what, you know, by the end first played a lot more, but it just seems like Heidi needed a change to actually, you know, break out. And when you have Weaver and then Swain, which we'll talk about for a little bit, and then obviously Vokia Tyus, who are negative players on the perimeter, they're not going to give you shooting. Really, maybe Weaver's going to be a corner guy that he'll develop that in this game this last year here. But I think bringing a guy who's going to shoot 39% from three and potentially fight for a starting spot is just really important at the forward position. There needed to be spacing. There needed to be more shooting added to this roster. You felt it a little bit at times this year outside of Johnson, who's going to take a big shot. Maybe it's not Heidi specifically, but as we talk later about kind of filling those last spots in the roster, that's going to be a priority. And I think adding a guy like this kind of under the radar, I don't think the recruiting rankings are going to pop out, but 2 years of eligibility, like we said, like happened with Okiatias, what's going on with Swain, another important add for Miller. And you can see he's really trying to get his guys in and players that will continue to stay with Texas. And I think that's a good identity to have in this modern era if you're not going to get the big dogs and, you know, the top ends of the portal era. So it's a good roster building spot, in my opinion, for them. And I just like the way the Miller's going after the portal so far.
Yeah, for sure. And he has a plan in mind, which is, you know, it's – I don't want to sound like I'm trashing other staff or anything. I just – you know, there's a very specific thing he's looking for, and he's finding it, it seems like. And he's finding it in kind of a non-traditional way. Well, I guess traditional is the wrong word because then I also knew. But you know what I mean? In the way that many other big-time basketball schools are going after it. Like, they're throwing, you know, $3-4 million at one guy. Literally have heard that number. It's insane how much some guys are making. But, you know, Texas is doing it more frugally. You know, they have their big spend guys, and then they're going after supplemental pieces. But the pieces make sense. I think that's what's important. I think that's what was missing off of last year's roster was just, you know, a sense of role definition. I've talked about that before, but that was a big problem with that team was nobody really knew what they were supposed to be doing on any given possession. There wasn't a default to go to. There wasn't a lot of motion off the ball. And I think you're going to get a lot more of that with Sean Miller. And that's part of the thing that he said in his opening press conference. One of his like four staples or whatever was movement. So look forward to seeing that on offense. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think that really showed up with the Larry Pope, Mark additions. It just felt like they were all playing the same position at times, or they weren't playing a position at all alongside Johnson. So maybe you're not going to see that as much anymore. And, of course, some of those guys are coming back. Before we go over to them, Dalen Swain, we've talked a lot about him. He's been one of those guys we've tabbed as a must-get. 2 years of eligibility coming in the wing. It's official. I can't remember if we talked too much about it the last time, but just part of this group of three transfer classes. How do they all three fit together in the front court that Texas is going to have?
Yeah, Swain is, again, he's not a shooter from three, but, I mean, he did hit 3 of 5 against Illinois. So maybe he's developing that skill. That's a very, very encouraging sign. And that's like a first-round draft pick if that guy can hit threes. Like, truly it is. Because of his ability to pressure the rim at 6'8". Like, he's got a very good handle. He can attack the basket from the perimeter. He is very strong. He can fight through contact and score. He can draw fouls. I can't remember what his free throw shooting percentage is. I don't think it's great, but the fact that he's at least, you know, drawing fouls is big. Getting to the free throw line is big, and for Sean Miller and really any analytical offense is going to be big on rim shots and threes and free throws. And that's kind of what, you know, minus the threes, that's kind of what Swain gives you, is he gets to the rim easily and he can just make things happen in the paint because of his size. 6'8", he's a big guy. And it's fitting in with these other returners, right? Like Tremone Mark, I feel like, is going to be a lead initiator for this team. I think they figured something out. And I think that had that been Miller's team last year, Tremone Mark probably would have started at point guard at the beginning of the season. It just made the most sense because he has the most playmaking chops on the ball, it seems like, of any of the guys they had last year. So, and you get some real length at point guard, which is awesome. You get a 6'6 point guard out there that rocks. You know, I mean, think about how big their lineup could be next year.
Yeah, it's going to be really awesome.
I mean, you're going to have a 7-foot center. You're going to have a 6'8 wing or forward, whatever they end up playing. Probably a power forward for Dalen Swain at 6'8. Heidi is 6'7 at wing. And then you would have, you know, your shooting guard, and then you have Tremone Mark, who's 6'6 at point guard. So really interesting mix of players. Jordan Pope is going to be a great bench piece for this team. I think he fits in. My concern with him is beating people off of the dribble. He wasn't really able to do that against SEC athletes consistently last year. But if he is able to become a catch-and-shoot guy like he was, I mean, he's very good at shooting off the dribble as well. But again, it's hard for him to create space against some of these athletes. So if he can become a guy that can shoot the three really well on off the catch, I think he can be super valuable in this offense. And maybe a guy that I don't know if you can fix the ability to first step, but if he can get to the rim more consistently, he can be a lot more valuable to this team as a driving kick player.
Yeah, and even if the catch and shoot doesn't fully develop, which is obviously the next step in this game for Jordan Pope, as we kind of go over the returning guys,
yeah,
it's still a guy who can lead the offense a bit off the bench. You know, you give Mark some time off, you can play them together, which you know, they've already shown they can do that. Is yeah. always the best rotation? No, but the stuff we've been complaining about with Pope, Mark, and Larry all kind of having the same role, but you don't know when to play them, and you don't know yeah. which guy's the lead initiator. Well, Larry's graduated, and these two other guys are staying, but they're obviously going to have different roles, and they're not going to start together. And like you said, I think Mark is the superior player. I think he just has the better pure playmaking. He's a better driver to the rim. But, yeah, yeah. Pope's little off-screen step to the right mid-range shot is pretty good. It's a nice part of his bag. You'd love the catch and shoot to develop, but if it's that and passing and, you know, at least effort on defense, I think that's enough from him to be a solid bench player in the SEC because, you know, they brought him in as a guy who was scoring a ton at Oregon State, and just not what you're going to get from him anymore at this level.
Yeah.
But it's important to bring guys like these back to be the sixth man, and then Weaver as the seventh man or potentially starting, which whatever you're going to do with him, depending yeah. on the rest of the portal. I mean, he's just someone that we've talked about extensively. He's got to come back. I was surprised it took so long. Felt like he was the most sure of them, and then Mark and Cody were before him. But the Weaver's just energy is going to be so important to this team. But do you see him as a starter, or is that something the portal that Texas is going to find to make sure that maybe him and Swain aren't playing too many minutes together?
Yeah, those guys wouldn't work together, you know. And I was yeah. saying that when Texas was involved with KJ Lewis, like I don't see how he would fit into this team. So. Great defensive player, right? Like, love KJ Lewis for that. But I think he made the right choice. Probably, I don't think he would fit on this roster because I don't think he can play Weaver and Swain together. Certainly can't play all three of those guys together. So I think Weaver, man, I love what Weaver brings, but, like, he is lineup dependent, right? Like, there's no question about it. Like, you have to have shooters on the floor if Weaver's on the floor. That's your off-guard spot is not a shooter. So you have to make up for that in other areas. You either have to have a point guard who can shoot off the dribble, off of screens. You have to have a wing who can catch and shoot. You have to have a power forward who can step out and hit the three. You have to have some kind of spacing because if you don't have that spacing, it's going to be very difficult for you to get to the rim. It's going to be difficult to get any kind of open looks. It's going to be difficult to move around. So, yeah, I mean, it is interesting to think about that lineup. But I think that you got to find another scoring shooting guard. You know, that's like yep. a guy like Mekhi Mason from Washington is a guy they're talking to. And that would be a great fit, I think. I have no idea where that recruitment stands at this point. I haven't mm-hmm. asked, but, you know, check inside Texas. We'll be all over it. But, you know, they do need to add that. But I like where this roster is at this point in the season, considering – they don't have the bag that like Louisville does for basketball.
Yeah. And I think on the point of the shooting, you know, it's not gonna be RJ Lewis for those that are, I just don't think that Texas has the pull to get that. He probably doesn't even fully fit in this roster. But like you said, I think the defense is going to be important for the player. I think that's part of why I heard Jakari White was not the take at Texas and why he's ending up at Virginia. But
yeah,
we can talk a little bit later about what exactly they need from the portal, but those kind of guys are important to grab that can actually shoot and space the floor. Not just corner threes, but shots on the wing, catch and shoot off a screen.
Yeah.
Even off the dribble if you find a good combo guard. So the last guy who we haven't talked about that's a confirmed guy for now is Nick Cody, who played a little bit last year, was a pretty highly touted recruit. Had a feeling he wasn't going to have a huge impact right away. He wasn't going to be one of the main rotation guys. But, you know, that freshman to sophomore leap is really important for a lot of guys and it could be the difference between a player that doesn't play at all to a near starter. So Cody probably doesn't have the same role that, you know, Pope or Weaver had minutes wise, but is this a guy that you could rely on to be an eighth man next year?
Yeah, I think so. I think he can be your backup power forward to Swain because mm-hmm. I think Swain's going to end up playing four for this team next year. So even though I like him as a three, but I think he can play both pretty well. So I think also with this roster, like the whole thing is like the young guys, you know, might not play as much just because of this transfer portal era, but I think he's a guy you have to give minutes to this year. I think he's a guy that he has to get in the rotation this year. He needs to be playing 10, 15 minutes probably per game. I think he can bring value. You know, he had that one explosion against Pine Bluff. I think it was against Pine Bluff where he had like 20 points. But
yeah, he had a 20 point game.
You know, I mean, he's shown he can do it. I just, you know, he has to get the opportunity to do it. I think he will this year because they are going to need a backup four. And I think he could do that. He's about the same size as Swain. I don't know if he, I don't think he weighs as much as Swain though. I think Swain's a lot more built, but you know, they're both like 6'8" guys. They're mobile. They can, yeah, they can kind of defend out to like, you know, 3-point line or whatever. He's got good footwork. I, you know, with Nick Cody, it's like, I don't know what his role would be were he a starter, but off the bench, his role is pretty clear. And it's to kind of fill that backup four role, I think, this season.
Yeah, and you don't have to force him into the starting lineup just yet. And that's, sure, you know, we'll see what happens with Swain and Cody in the future, but that's a spot where maybe he's the long-term four and you can play a little bit bigger on the floor with him. I think that's going to take us right into Lux here as we go into a little break and talk about the remaining three spots on the roster. Connor, send it over to Lux.
This video is brought to you by Lux Kitchen and Bath. Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook, and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
So, Keenan, we've talked about seven guys between the transfer commitments, the returning players, but there's also some guys still on the roster who are going to get the last six spots of the lineup. At least currently, they're there. There may be some shakeup. They may not stay. But for players like Jamie Vinson, a 6'11" freshman, you probably would have seen him enter the portal at this point. Potentially, you never know. But a player like that is at least still on the roster, as far as we know, an extra big man. You also have Jamie Presley, or Malik Presley, a sophomore who was a Vanderbilt transfer, a Roddy Terry guy who we brought in pretty late in the cycle last year, 6'6" wing, didn't get to see either of them too much. And then John Clark, a power forward in this class who is committed as of now and no change to that so far. You assume Miller's been working with that, and he'll also work in recruiting extensively for the rest of this time, maybe try to get in one more guy for this class. But for now, Texas has three spots remaining. The three guards, I would say, are Pope, Mark, and Weaver. You have forwards in Swain, Presley, Heidi. I would add Cody and Clark maybe there. And then Vincent and Vokietitis as the true big men center. With those three spots, I think we can maybe do 1-1-1, so say what we'd like. But I'd like to hear first, what is your first most important spot for them to add here?
I think you got to add a shooting guard, like a, you know, shooting guard slash wing, somebody who can kind of switch between the positions, right? Like a just an off-guard wing type of player. I don't know. I mean, I already mentioned the Washington kid. But there are a few guys in the portal. I mean, big names you keep entering. I wouldn't expect them to be linked to any of these huge names out there, by the way. I don't know what the deal is, but I wouldn't assume like Jameer Watkins is going to be a long one, right? Numbers like guys like that, if he doesn't go pro or whatever. However, there is value to be found at the shooting guard position left in this portal. I don't have the names in front of me, but there's just a lot of guys out there that are 12 points per game scorers at the mid-major level that you can maybe bring up. You know, I don't know if this is going to be a starting guard, but somebody who can come off the bench and fill it up. Ideally, somebody with a quicker first step, somebody who can beat guys off the dribble, because that's so important in the SEC. That's like a huge thing. So you have to go with a guy that's athletic, even if he's a little more raw as a guard, because the athletic thing is so important in the SEC. Everybody's a badass athlete, and you are going to get left behind if you don't have those kind of athletes. So, you know, it's always, you always got to value that when you're playing in a league like Texas plays in. I would probably go for, I don't know, maybe another point guard too. I would go heavy backcourt. I think your front court is pretty good at this point. But it never hurts to add another, you know, they have a lot of big men with, you know, I don't know whether you consider John Clark. He's like a forward. He can play small ball five maybe, but that's what I would maybe go with. I would probably try to go more with backcourt guys than anybody else. I think that that should be the focus, and probably focus on scoring, because I think you have most of the other things you need if Tremont Mark is in fact going to be your point guard.
Yeah, specifically that shooting guard spot. The two names, at least in the portal, that will instantly jump out are Wesley Yates and Brandon Housen. Now Amarillo is not very close to Austin, but it is Texas, where Housen's coming from Kansas State.
He'd be an amazing
with Yates
ad.
As well. Just both will be, they're going to have to compete with top teams for those kind of guys, but would be awesome.
I think Yates is leaning.
Yeah, probably a little bit out.
Yeah, but Housen.
Those are the kind of guys you'd hope for. Yeah. Definitely. And so I would like one more starter on the roster. I think it's important to me because you do have Mark, you do have Swain, you do have Voki Titus, and then it's a little bit like we can do a lot with a lot of different guys, but who's for sure? So at least one more pure starter is important to me. Like you said, another point guard. If anything, I would like to see the point guard be a recruit because your front court's a little bit younger. You have the Swain, Cody, Voki Titus, Clark, Heidi. Those guys all have eligibility. But Pope, Mark, and Weaver are done after this year. That's it. So either way, you're going to have to bring in a guard because of just needing a starter. But a point guard that we can develop here in Austin and maybe play in a year, 2 years as a pure number one initiator is important, I think. And then I would just say one more wing, another guy who can stretch the floor a little bit. Doesn't have to be a pure shooter and a pure make my own shot kind of guy that you'd hope for at the shooting guard position. But can we get someone in that will at least compete with Heidi for roles in the team, compete with, Weaver as a hustle guy, maybe? That's one where it's kind of a wild card, like, hey, what does Miller want? Or maybe he sees that, man, we need one more center. I don't think that's what it's going to be, but I would like one more starter purely to be brought in. And then if you do that, I think this is a fairly good rotation for the Longhorns. And just overall, one last thing as we're wrapping it up, Keenan. I've seen these early top 25s, and they're early. There's still so many names in the portal. But I think I saw Fanta had Texas in the top 25. Rothstein had them in that 30 range. And I think ESPN also in the top 25. Where do you think this team is going to be ranked preseason, just based on kind of the bulk of players that have been added so far?
I would guess late 20s or mid, early to late, mm-hmm. Right around 25. That would be my guess for the team next year, given – what I've seen so far and stacking them up against some of these other teams. Some of the other teams' rosters are insane. So I would guess in the mid-20s. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I think Texas might be lacking a true star on this team going forward, but it's a little bit hard to find Trey Johnson after you just had Trey Johnson. So the Longhorns still doing well in the portal. And like we said, three spots technically remaining that could shake up based on, someone gets added or the decisions of players like Presley and Vincent and Clark. But overall, the Longhorns have had a lot of news these past 2 weeks. We're going to keep chugging on this because every week there's going to be new news about Texas. And, even with less news, we're still finding ways to get 30 minutes out of it, which, just shows just how much Keenan and I love to talk ball around here. As always, Inside Texas is doing the best sale out in college sports. $1 for 4 months, you're getting everything on this site. Access to the forums, access to behind paywall articles. For $1, you're getting that for 4 months of time. I don't have four quarters in front of me like Nash Talks Texas likes to have, but it's a dollar. It's somewhere in your wallet. It's somewhere, hopefully, in your bank account. Inside Texas is the place to go for anything basketball, baseball, football, and now women's sports. So anything you want with Texas sports, it's going to be had here. Keenan, another good episode. Anything you want to say before we send off?
Nothing much, man. Just keep paying attention. Go on Inside Texas. We're writing every day, man. We got something up there. So if you're a sports, you're a Texas fan, there's no reason not to sign up, man.
Thanks so much, Keenan. I've been Evan Veith, your host. We're going to sign out for today. See you all next time.